Good evening and welcome to Good News Updates from Living Compassion. My name is Michael Gray and I'm excited to be joined today by Alex Mill, who's a monk at the Zen Monastery Peace Center. Welcome, Alex.
Hey, thanks, Michael. Good evening.
Great to have you on the air.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Great, great. Alex, there's been some exciting recent developments in Living Compassion coming from the unlikely area of comics and cartoons.
Really?
Yes. And I understand that you are the creative master behind this new endeavor.
Well, I don't know what to say following that.
Well, tell us a little bit about how it came about for you.
The voices?
Yes.
Let's see.
I mean the voices, the comic strip, not the voices in your head.
Well, that's how they came about, actually.
That's right.
It's hard to say where the chicken or the egg is in this matter,
yes.
But it's been a really interesting process. And as far as I can tell, the way it all started was I was asked to do some drawings for Sherry's book, Making a Change for Good.
Yes.
And when I was doing them, I did some cartoon drawings in there with this character who's talking inside somebody's head. And that character kind of popped up for me later on, about a couple months ago. And I was just doodling some imps, basically talking to somebody, trying to convince them into doing something that they thought was good but would lead to suffering. And from there, it all just kind of took off out from under me, pretty much.
Yes, I know that there's one drawing that occurs to me. I don't have it in front of me, but in Making a Change for Good,
mm-hmm.
there's a guy with he's got a microphone or a megaphone.
Exactly. There's a cross-section of a guy's head, and
yeah.
I don't know what that voice is saying to that person, but it's basically trying to convince him of his life experience. And then later on down below, he's basically calling the shot, saying, foul, no, 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 wrong, wrong, wrong. Bad, 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 I guess.
Uh-huh.
I think it's something like that. And he came about looking like an umpire because that's what the voice was kind of doing in that scene.
Oh, yes, I remember that. I remember that. Foul as in, like, that's an illegal move or that's
exactly.
not.
Exactly.
Yes. It's great. And I recognize from the voices that there seem to be several other characters as well that show up pretty regularly.
Yeah, well, there's an imp that I was one of the first ones that I had drawn. It was, I don't know where that one came from. I think it was just, you know, this kind of devilish-looking character that would kind of pop in and just join in the fun, you know, their idea of fun. And the original thing that I was doodling was somebody sitting in meditation, and the imp would pull down a curtain, you know, in front of that person who was meditating and start,
yeah.
you know, flick a switch on the person who's meditating's head and show a movie. And the movie would be playing inside this person's head of whatever it is the imp would want to be watching. And he was just sitting there eating popcorn while this is going on.
Yes. Yes. And to me, what's one of the things that's so interesting about the voices is it's like you've made really concrete the experience that we're all having.
Yeah, and I'm certainly hoping that's what people are getting from it. That's what I'm getting from it as I'm doing it, because most of it is just stuff that I pretty much hear in my own head, and so I'm about to probably get sued by the voices in my head for this, but just that it's kind of like making obvious what we all think is probably just thinking, you know, just me thinking. This is just really me. And so whenever I do it, I get a really clear sense about, like, what's really going on and how I'm getting set up and all the random kind of things that are going through my head that feel random, but in a sense they're going in a particular direction and they're trying to lead me towards suffering.
Yes. Yes. That's definitely my experience as well. And it's like you've made real those voices in our head in a way that enables us to see that it's not just I or me.
Yeah.
That they're conditioned.
Yeah. And that I can get some distance from it. And I actually, when I do it, I get a really big chuckle out of it. So it gives me some humor about the whole thing too.
Uh-huh.
I was just recently telling some folks that it's hard for me to have a voice go through my head without having a good laugh about it, because now I know that it's just ammunition for my next comic strip.
Every time
really quiet now.
Real quiet now, right?
They're quiet now.
Yes. I picture you with your pencil and your notebook just right
exactly
there at the ready.
Exactly waiting.
To jot everything down.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's exciting.
Very
and
exciting.
And so what do you see as the next step in the voices?
Well, the next step just keeps popping up. I really don't have much say in it. The pattern seems to be I go for a walk around the property. I've had the pleasure of being able to have a dog follow me around in the morning.
Uh-huh.
And I go around the property, and by the time I get back, the next comic strip pretty much popped up.
Oh,
and I don't really have much say in it. I don't actually even start off saying, well, I wish I had an idea. Or
right.
It just comes up. So the
yes.
next direction that it looks like they're going in is they're kind of – they've had a recent trend of – and I'm speaking as though everybody's seen them all. I've done about, like, I don't know, maybe 8 or so of them, but I think there are only a few of them that have been made public so far. So there are more on the way.
More on the way.
But anyway, they all have had this kind of theme to them of, these are how the voices set me up, and this is how I lose. And so I'm going to – the recent ones are, these are how the voices set me up, and this is how I win.
Oh.
So that's what's been coming up. And just kind of like inspirational ones. At least that's what they feel like to me. I don't want to give away too many of them because,
yes.
it'd be a, it's not so exciting to see a cartoon you've had someone describe to you. But,
yes.
The next few are really upbeat for me and inspirational, at least to me anyway.
Uh-huh. And I project almost in that a kind of sense, at least for me, of how practice has evolved in that I get set up and I lose.
Yeah.
Mostly unconscious for a long time.
Exactly.
And then I begin to practice, and I'm still being set up and losing, and I'm seeing how that happens.
Exactly. Yes, right. And this is what we can do about it.
Uh-huh.
That's the part that's most exciting to me, is that this is how the voices set me up, and these are the things that are coming in that are helping me and reminding me and bringing in the elements of practice to it, which is I'm really
yes.
excited about.
Yes, yes.
There's going to be some meditator characters.
Oh, there's going to be some meditator characters. Great.
Yeah, there are. This could be my first meditation class, perhaps.
Oh, right. That's great.
And the voices are not going to be very pleased about that.
Uh-huh. I'm sure. I'm sure it's going to get very quiet and a hurry in there. And one of the things that's fun for me is I project your practice enables you to see all of those voices pretty clearly as they come up.
Well, I have some help, you know. I mean, people talk on the show constantly about the voices. You know, we at the monastery, when we do groups, people are talking about the voices in our heads constantly. I mean, a whole practice is centered around, you know, these things show up, they arise, you know, we don't have to take them seriously, we don't have to believe them, we can drop them and let them go. And so a lot of inspiration has come from, you know, everybody, I mean, everywhere. I'm very open to ideas, too, about how practice can manifest through cartoons so that people can have a clear sense about how this all happens, because I think that it just makes it really accessible to a lot of folks. You don't have to know a lot of stuff to have this kind of common experience of having a voice come up in your head trying to get you to believe something or go in a particular direction.
Yes, yes. I think it's all very exciting. And I wish for many, many more cartoons to come in the future.
Well, if things are going the way they're going, there probably will be.
Wonderful.
I look forward to doing them as well.
Wonderful. Alex, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Michael.
Okay, good night.
Good night.
Good evening, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good evening,
Hello,
Sherry.
Hello, Michael.
Hi. How are
that
you?
That was fun.
It was very fun, wasn't it?
Yeah. See, we always say practice is fun. And there are people who don't believe us. They think we're just, some more of those voices trying to lure them in a dangerous direction. But
yes.
It really is fun.
Yes.
And as Alex is pointing out, all kinds of ways to pay attention.
Yes.
So when we start paying attention and when we start really seeing how things work, then the expressions of that are, you know, as many as there are people.
Yes, yes. Hmm? And now we have our own funny pages.
Now we have our own funny pages, exactly. Yeah, yeah. And who knows? Who knows where this is going? You
yeah.
know, I think back to when The Key came into existence, the book The Key, and that it's handwritten because we didn't have enough money for typesetting. And typesetting was the only way to do a book?
Yes.
I mean, my. Now, you know, you click on a website and there are videos of all sorts of things and just lots and lots of ways to make practice available and accessible and understandable and all of those sorts of things. So it's, as I'm fond of saying, it's a good time to be alive.
It's a good time to be alive. I agree. Terry, we have a number of callers here.
I'm so glad. And I'm so grateful to have a voice so that finally I get to talk with them. All these other
yes,
people have,
it's fun.
Yeah.
And I was
really
gone last week also. I feel like I've been away a lifetime.
That's right. Boy, you miss a week or so and just feel downright out of touch. So who have we got?
Okay, our next caller, you are on the line, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Anna here from England.
Hey,
hi.
How are you?
Hi, I'm doing really well, thank you. Me and Poppy have been really busy. Poppy's had exams.
Ooh. And maybe we'll hear from her if they went well.
Yes, she was wanting to speak to you, but she was finding it too upsetting.
Oh.
And she was worried that she would cry. So it's the old body image thing, that horrible thing that we all have. She's been looking at it ever since, you know, the last time, and she's found it a real devil to get rid of. But maybe she'll feel up to it another time.
Oh, good. Yeah. Well, give her our best.
Yes, I will. She listens. She listens. She's been listening to the program every week, and I do Transform Your Life and read out to the whole family and everything. So.
Oh, good.
Yeah, everybody. I say, right, who wants their life transformed today? And I've loved today's. It was the greatest prayer is patience,
mm-hmm.
and it came a really, really good. It was, and yesterday's was just, it's amazing how the quotes are perfect for whatever we're dealing with.
Isn't that astounding? I marvel at that. I marvel at that on a regular basis, and then the peace quotes too.
Yes.
How often they will be the, you know, the perfect thing to go with the page in the book and the da-da-da-da-da, and you think, huh, what's going on here?
I did actually, you know, it's just clean gone off the top of my head, but I did actually think that today as well, and I forwarded it to Poppy's email. It was such a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yes. So anyway, so hopefully she'll be up to ringing you. I was just going to ring you because I was wanting to talk to you about the new practice opportunity.
Yes,
which
yes.
I'm going to take part in, hopefully.
Good.
Yeah. And I wondered if it might go well with, I'm going, in September, I'm going to do teacher training. So I'm going to be back in full-time education for a full year. And I'm, in turns, really excited and really scared. For example, when I went for my interview, I could feel my legs wanting to turn the opposite direction and run away.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
So it was really powerful. And I'm going to go for post-16, so it's adult education and teenagers sort of thing. So sort of, I've been doing voluntary work for the past 2 years. I've got lots of experience, but nevertheless. And I wondered whether that would fit well.
Well, that seems perfect, doesn't it?
Mm.
Because it's supposed to be something that you want to do,
yes.
that really inspires you, and
yeah.
yet you know is going to kick up
yeah.
such a level of self-hatred that, that the impulse is to just start running in the opposite direction, as you say.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And with something like that, it really is good because it's so continuing, right?
Yes.
It's not like you do it once. So if you were going to, say, do an art show, you know, that could bring up a ton. But then it would be, there'd be a finish date.
it would be over
and then there'd be whatever. But with something like this, you're going to get to experience that for a long time.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because, of course, the first thing was is, oh, I can't do this practice opportunity because I'm doing this. It's a fairly intense, it's very intensive course because you're sort of learning to be a teacher in a year. Well, it is less than a year, really, you know, the academic year. And then I thought, well, then I must do it.
Right. What better time?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. And so there's the first one of the first volleys from the voices. Oh, well, you can't possibly pay attention. You can't possibly do awareness practice. This is going to be way too intense for that.
Yeah.
You just have to turn to us.
Yeah, they're doing that all the time at the moment. I'm sort of trying to enjoy my summer, and I'm thinking, how am I going to find time to meditate in the mornings and the evenings? How am I going to find time to do my yoga? How am I going to find time to do this? Sort of doing it already, and on top of that, that there's the fear as well. How am I going to sort of stay the course? So yeah.
Oh, big opportunity.
Yeah.
When does this all begin?
Oh, I start the last week in September.
Okay, because I'm looking at what kind of a starting date we're going to have going. We've been working on this one thing project that I'm telling people about, and we just talked yesterday to the folks at the social networking platform. And they're making some changes in the platform so that it really will work with what we want to do. It's very, very kind and generous of them.
Right.
And it's going to take them about 3 weeks to do that. And I said, I was so hoping that we could get this all launched before I left for Africa. Sadly, that's tomorrow. I said, well, okay, then, we'll just do it at a distance. And we'll, as soon as they're ready, we'll launch the one thing, and then we'll have August to kind of do that and talk about things and see what arises, and then around the middle of September, start the first of the 3-month series. So that'll be just about perfect.
Yeah. So that's another example of everything being just perfect for me and fitting my life.
It really is, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I know we can sound like Pollyanna or
yes,
Goody Two Shoes or whoever those people are, but it's such a matter of how you see it is how it is.
Yes.
So the person who sees everything is hard and it doesn't work and it's not going to work and see this isn't working, they will have a ton of evidence that supports their perspective.
Right,
and when
yeah.
a person looks at life and says it is always so perfect.
Right.
All the evidence lines up behind that.
Yes.
Yeah. So
yes.
It's not a matter of making things up. It's a matter of We get what we see.
Yes. Well, for me, it is perfect timing because I probably will find it difficult and there'll be all sorts of challenges for me and that will be there and I'll be able to have support and help
Because the thing is, it's going to be challenging.
Yes.
So your two choices are go through that challenge without support and
yes.
just self-hate in your corner. Or go through it with a lot of support and a lot of reminders to take care of yourself and like that. So
yeah.
That's what people will often, we'll be in a retreat and we're on the third day of practicing awareness and paying attention and people go into this, this is just too hard. You know, this is exhausting. All this awareness, all this paying attention, my God. But the thing about it is, awareness doesn't take anything.
Mm.
It doesn't take extra energy. It doesn't take time. It doesn't take anything because awareness is what is. And paying attention, we're always paying attention. It's just that usually we're paying attention to conditioning. So when we start paying attention to the moment, conditioning starts whining about how hard it is to pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
You see?
Yes.
Yeah, so in that same way, you know, well, you just don't have time to go through this schooling and also do awareness practice. I mean, how can you practice awareness and do something that challenging?
Yes.
Well, it's easy.
Yes.
Because that means you're there for it, and you're going to be on your side, and you're not listening to voices of judgment, and you're not being beaten up all the time and threatened, and awful things are going to happen to you.
Mm.
So there's plenty of time for awareness.
Yes, and whenever I've done anything else, the EMR classes, all the other things that I've joined in with, I've moved on so fast and such big leaps and bounds.
Yes.
So I'm guessing that with something like this, I'll come out at the end of it so far on.
Oh, yeah, a completely different person.
Yes. I've always noticed the difference when there's been, like at the moment, I can feel, you know, sort of after the last email class and the last time I've called in, it sort of things sort of go down, down, down. And then they come back up again when I do the next thing, so.
Yeah, it's like the lights come on.
Yes.
And then if we don't have that support and encouragement for practice, conditioning just starts dimming things and dimming them and dimming them and dimming them. And it's often such a gradual process that we don't realize we're walking around in the dark until suddenly the lights are back up again. It's like, oh, my God.
Yes.
Yeah. This is where I want to live, not
yes.
in all that darkness. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. So, well, thank you very much for that, and I'll look forward to that. And I hope you have a really great time in Africa, and we'll be looking forward to hearing all about that.
Yes, you know those blogs, they'll be coming
yes.
out in a few days. So
yes.
We're excited. I don't know when the last thing came out about this, but Josephine, one of my favorite gals there, gave birth 2.5 months ago or so to baby Sherry.
Oh,
and,
yes, I heard that. Yeah, how lovely.
Yeah, so I am very excited to get to go over there and hold baby Sherry.
Oh, yes.
That was very fun. I kid everybody that I have to, you know, start getting her signed up for university right now.
Yes.
Anyway, yeah, we're excited. So
yes.
We'll be in touch soon, huh?
Okay, yes, I've got a note from Poppy. Will you still be doing the show in Africa?
Well, that's going to depend. We'll
that's
have to get
depend,
over there
right.
and see how we do.
Right.
I hope we will.
Okay.
But we'll just have to see if we can find a proper phone line.
Oh, well, that's good enough for us.
All
right. Hoping that you will. That's great.
Okay. Thank
All
you.
Right.
Good night, gals.
All right. Thank you. Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks for joining us, Anna. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we have a stack of callers here.
All right.
Next call, you are now on the air. Could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, yep, my name is Peter, and I'm calling from Hawaii.
Hi, Peter.
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael.
What's
Hi.
Going on in the beautiful Pacific Ocean?
it's perfect weather as usual. really, really nice. I had called in actually when I was on a work trip from Kansas a few weeks ago, and I talked to David, and we spoke a little bit about kind of dualism, and kind of I was stuck in, or at the time just working through a lot of that kind of choice making sort of scenarios. And and one of the assignments I had was to kind of, you know, watch the breath and as a practice, you know, to I haven't been to the monastery yet. So he said, you know, so bring it back to the breath, you know, every time you go into that, you know, drop it and bring it back. And so I kind of paid attention to it for a few weeks since then. And So I'm kind of checking back in with what's going on now.
All right. So what are you seeing?
So what really came up for me, you know, is just it's more apparent on, you know, where I, like, the tension in the chest, you know, thing where I carry the, you know, what's going on in the body at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And sort of two things come up for me. On one side is, you know, so kind of where, maybe from your experience, or is there some tools, or, you know, because it's a constant, you know, when I'm putting myself in situations where I guess, you know, it could be a growing situation or a situation where, you know, I haven't been in before, that's usually where the tension goes. So is there, you know, one is there some tools maybe to work with that? And then the other thing is, of course, the voices that that are going on, you know, at the time of that, because I guess I've done some personal growth seminars over the years, and you know, and where I've put the exercises are to do things, you know, set goals that are above and beyond what you could imagine, and to watch what goes on, you know, as you work through these goals, and sometimes get them, sometimes not. But I haven't really so I enjoy the process of watching, but I guess with those seminars before, I never maybe not necessarily, you know, address the voices per se in the sense of feeling any better. So the voices are kind of like, well, it's kind of like, okay, you've seen this before, you know what goes on, and, you know, are you really going anywhere? What do you do when, you know, for example, like for work right now, I'm taking on some challenges that I've never been through before that are things I want to do, which are really good opportunities. But like, I guess, you know, I guess it's sort of like, how do I deal with all those tension in the chest feelings and all the voices? And I mean, you know, what was it like for you when you were going through your steps to being where you are now and still doing it, you know?
Okay. So there are a couple of things about it that I think are just good perspective things. Now, has anybody talked to you about the fact that that voice addresses you as you?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's a pretty – I've become aware of that, you know.
Okay,
that,
very good. So you've got this – now, the cartoons, I don't know if you were here at the good news part of the program, but where
Alex was
talking about the cartoons, that's they're so perfect because that's – you know, you get this visual image of this pot-bellied kind of buffoon character who goes around, and he's walking around with you. So there you are. You're going to take on these challenges at work. And he says, you know, you've done all this work. Are you any different? I mean, is this really going anywhere? Is this, I mean, how do you, what makes you think you're going to be able to do this? You've never thought. Okay. And so to realize that it's like a guy walking around next to you saying these things.
Right.
Now, if it were a real guy, you know, at a certain point, you'd probably deck him.
Yeah,
you'd be putting real energy into, I gotta shake this guy. Because it would just be obnoxious.
Mm-hmm.
But because it happens inside your head,
there
are two things. One, it has a credibility that it wouldn't have if it were somebody walking around outside. At first, now, because we do have people in our lives who say those kinds of things, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so maybe it's a sibling or a parent or somebody like that. Maybe it's a coworker. And at first, it can sort of shake your confidence. And then after a while, especially after you do some work, you think, wait a minute, why am I giving any power to this person? This is insane. This is not in support of me. This person isn't rooting for my success. This is just a nasty, negative person who's trying to ruin my day. So I'm not, you know, if it's your mother or your father, you know, you might still decide to have a relationship with them, but certainly you're going to now work on, okay, now that I don't believe this person, how can I tolerate them and remain civil?
Because it doesn't go away.
That's right. That's exactly where you're going with the voice in your head.
Mm-hmm.
To start seeing it as an external, because it is. It's somebody who sees you as enough of another person that he refers to you as you when he talks to you.
Right.
Just like I do. And
yeah,
I'm clearly outside your head.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, that's it.
So that's job one. Job two is what you just said. It never goes away. Now, that's not technically true, but I always encourage people to approach it that way because it's way easier. Otherwise, if I say, yeah, and in no time at all, that voice is going to be gone, the voice is going to say, well, Sherry said in no time at all those voices will be gone, but they're not gone. So you're not actually doing the practice. So, okay. Now, so that brings us to point number three.
Uh-huh.
Those voices will use any and everything that goes on in your life to try to get you. They have no shame. They are ruthless. They are relentless.
Right.
So you cannot, you must, right now, brother, right now, give up any hope you have. Just let it go. Let go of any hope you have of becoming somebody that's going to get their approval.
Right.
Because it's never going to happen.
Right, right.
You're already perfectly fine, and they treat you like garbage.
Yeah, it's true, like in the sense of that, you know, in a sense, going after an approval of some kind in a way. Almost.
It's never
going to
happen.
Yeah.
It is never, ever going to happen.
And the one thing that I've noticed, too, is like I want to say grow, but I kind of hesitate to say grow because I don't know that I'm growing. Is that, you know, as I accomplish more, as I've gone places I've never imagined that I would, you know, have gone and things like that, you know, there is also a part where I see things like, you know, what I would call free time going away, and then the questioning of, like, am I really enjoying my life, even though, since I'm getting what I asked for, and you know, and I don't know if that's rang true for you along the way.
Well, here's a little secret.
Mm-hmm.
As long as there's only one force in life that wants, and that's the ego.
So the voice that wants, he said.
That wants. That's that illusion of being separate from life, and that's how I describe the ego.
Uh-huh.
So as long as you want something for yourself,
right,
you're in ego, and a synonym for ego is dissatisfaction.
Yeah.
Okay, so for myself, as somebody who pursues awareness practice,
right,
every moment of life is my best opportunity to see what I'm choosing instead of being here. Because when we are here, you know, big capital here,
right,
we are receiving everything that it is possible for a human being to have. We're completely satisfied. There's nothing left out, nothing that we want, nothing that we would have be different, regardless of the circumstances.
Right.
So if I'm not having that experience,
right,
then I know I am identified with ego, who is making a case for dissatisfaction, and what I need to do is figure out how to drop that identification with ego, not how to give ego what it wants, so that it will give me the happiness that it always promises me, but cannot deliver.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Because I guess it's the thing, as the more that goes on, you know, the less time, I definitely default to, like, those voices that are identifying with those voices that are, you know, saying, like, you know, there's only 24 hours a day and you're doing all this, and, you know, and then starting to always think about, like you had just said, I think, where being in, what, like, somehow I get pulled into a place of, I sh- you know, of the shouldn't be this way, and then I lose the moment,
right,
in a sense where,
right,
yeah, I'm thinking it shouldn't be like what I'm doing right now. I should be doing something else.
Yeah, and it's easy to fall into because, you know, I want a job. I want this job.
Right.
I really want this job. I want this job. Now I have the job.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what else do I want?
Yeah.
And so it's always good to check back in and say, okay, well, I could do this other stuff, but I'd have to give up this job. Am I willing to give up the job to do this other stuff? Well, no.
Right.
Okay, well,
right,
then at what point have we hit, it's kind of what Anna was saying earlier, at
mm-hmm.
what point do we hit impossibility? So, no,
well, right,
I can't work full-time and go to the
right
gym every day and spend a couple of hours of quality time with my family and
right
study for blah, blah. And
right,
no, I can't do that. So,
and that's kind of, yeah, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Well, instead of letting ego set up life in a way that doesn't work,
mm-hmm,
come back to center,
mm-hmm,
and let life set up your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think maybe that's kind of where the little catch is for me, because in the work that I've done before, it's like you set a goal, right, and you meet that goal, and it's like, well, what next? And then it's constantly, what's next,
that's
what's
right
next? So it's like, at some point, I've kind of gone like, all right, like, yeah, there's always something next. I see it doesn't end, and I start to feel kind of bad, you know, like I start feeling like exhausted, start feeling like,
sure,
well,
do.
There,
so
yeah, and
it's, you want a different
yeah
answer to what's next?
Yeah.
Celebration.
Yeah.
That's the, we do a process called Best Year Yet, and it starts off, it's a goal setting process, and we use it in all of our organizations, and personally we all use it, and it starts off with acknowledging successes and celebrating them. That's where the whole, yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry, it cut out there. You said acknowledging successes and what?
Celebrating.
So, oh, I see.
So it what it's pointing at is exactly what you said. If you don't acknowledge your successes, if you don't take them in, if you don't celebrate them,
mm-hmm,
then ego will just drive you to the next thing, the next thing, the next thing, the next thing. Because remember, ego, a synonym for ego is dissatisfaction. It lives off of dissatisfaction, suffering, misery,
yeah,
unhappiness. Okay?
Right.
So when you achieve something, when you accomplish something, when you go into it, you know, I'm going to, whatever it is, build
mm-hmm
the celebration into it. And when
yeah
I accomplish this, what I'm going to do is, you know, I'm going to take a week off with my family. I'm going to go on that holiday that I'm going to go on retreat. I'm going to,
right,
yeah. And you won't
yeah
get burned out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's good advice. So,
all right.
Well, I appreciate that. So, I guess in the next, because I'm off to, I'm actually off to China. You're off to Africa.
Oh my
and
goodness.
Then, so I have this next thing going on, and I guess when all those voices come up, I'll just, like you said in the beginning, just knock it off.
That's right. Well, and when you go, before you go,
uh-huh,
print out a couple of episodes of The Voices.
Oh, you said script them out?
Yeah, just print them out, you know.
Oh, print them out, yeah.
Print them out. And then tack them up somewhere, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Get your image of what that guy inside your head looks like.
Okay.
Maybe even if you feel up for it, draw a little picture of him. So that
yeah,
when he
good
talks to you, that's who you're seeing. And just
mm-hmm
see if this is actually somebody whose opinion you really care about.
Yeah, that's a great little exercise. I'll definitely do that.
And then when you get back, let us know
yeah
how you're doing.
Let you know how it goes?
Yeah.
Yeah, I will for sure.
Okay.
I will. Thank you very much.
Take care. Have fun.
I will. You too.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks for joining us, Peter. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, that was brilliant. I really enjoyed that.
That was fun, huh?
Yeah.
You know, I wish I'd asked him, though. I wonder what it's like, what the flight time is from Hawaii to China.
Yeah. Less than from
yeah
San Francisco is my guess.
Yeah. Anyway, I like that idea of printing those characters out and then drawing our own. You know, it probably won't have the clarity that Alex's drawings have, but that's okay. As long as it there's that reminder of, wow, this is who, if I'm not paying attention, I'll let run the show? I don't think so.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. It's a great idea. Sherry, we're going to take a quick break here, and then we have at least three more callers here.
Good. Thank you.
The Zen Blues Quartet is a collaborative music project celebrating life and the music of the blues. Good musicians and good friends coming together to make something really beautiful simply because we can. Zen Blues Music. For myself, as a Zen student, I see a direct connection between playing the blues and awareness practice, because for me, both seem to require a willingness to be really present in the moment. Zen Blues Quartet is proud to sponsor Open Air Talk Radio with Sherry Huber, as we firmly believe that the quality of your life is dependent on the focus of your attention.
What a life, what a life.
Visit us at www.zenbluesmusic.com for more information about our project.
Welcome back to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we have our next caller.
Right.
Next caller, you are on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Jen.
Hey, Jen.
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael.
Hi.
How's it going?
It's going okay.
What's going on? Maybe that's a better question.
Yeah. I'm in the process of moving. I've been living in one place for about 6 years, and I'm moving to a new place. I'm kind of actually, I have, you know, half my life in the new place and half my life still in the old place. I'm still coming back to finish my job and just kind of tie up things here. And it's a really, I don't know, it's just a really weird place. I think it's probably a neat place to practice with, because it's like all of my identity, everything that I've done and who I am is just falling away. I don't have a new job lined up yet. And so I don't know, I just wanted to call in because it's been kind of an emotional roller coaster, and I just wanted to look at it a little and, you know, use it to my advantage, because I think it is a neat place to practice with as much as it's kind of wild. So that's what's going on.
So tell us a little bit about the roller coaster. What are some of the spots you visit on the journey?
Well, it's, there, you know, fear comes up a lot. You know, I've worked probably since I was 11. I've always had jobs, usually multiple jobs. And, you know, my husband has been really kind and is really offering that I take, you know, a couple of months when we get to this new place or whatever, and he feels like we can make it work financially, and I would be able to take a little time to not just jump into, you know, having three jobs and, you know, the kind of thing that I typically I have an identity that does that kind of thing, and be, you know, a little more conscious about making choices of finding work that I would really enjoy. But there's a lot of fear around, you know, the voices are saying you're going to be a bum and a loser, and, you know, you're going to live off of your husband. And, you know, I'm getting a lot of that stuff and watching that. And there's a lot of sadness too that has come up just a little bit, but it feels like it hasn't been totally expressed. Like I have taught yoga classes here now for 6 years that have just been heart-opening and beautiful and really a great part of my life. And I just taught my last yoga class a few days ago, and in the morning I was really aware of the sadness around that. But by the time I taught the class, I was just numb. I just didn't even feel like anything was happening. So I don't know. I'm not really sure what's happening, but like I said, I thought I would call, because the other thing that's going on is I've always worked on Tuesday nights for my job, and I don't have to work the Tuesday nights now, so I can finally call. So that's kind of a fun thing that's going on.
Yeah, that's good news for us already.
Yeah.
We're guessing it's kind of a state of shock, huh?
Probably, yeah. Probably.
Yeah, one of those we usually think of this happening with a, you know, real trauma. There's a death close to you, or you know, your relationship ends, or suddenly you're fired, or that sort of thing, and the system goes into that sort of state of shock. But any kind of big upheaval like this, as you've indicated, will do that to us, because you're suddenly in limbo. You're not living the life that you did live. You haven't really established yourself in a life yet in a new place, and so conditioning is just kind of scrambling around. Do you have a sense that conditioning is actually more undone by this than anything else?
Like than anything that's ever happened to me, or just
that it's conditioning. In other words, your heart is probably okay. Your heart. You know, your deeper self, or that sort of thing, could possibly in a situation like this even see it as exciting and a lot of possibility and that sort of thing.
Yes, absolutely, and that's kind of why I wanted to call, because I'm sort of being able to watch this, and yeah, I think that's exactly right, that conditioning is who is freaking out here, and yeah, there is, in fact, I'd like to really be, you know, inviting in that place, because I know that, yeah, this could be really exciting. I mean, all these years that I've always been, you know, working three jobs and doing all these things, that I've wanted space to, you know, I don't know, I want to learn how to play the guitar, and I want to volunteer, and, I, you know, just some really cool things that I might be able to do for a little while, and I want to be aware of not letting this space get kind of just sucked up by conditioning. And I think it's, you know, it's a fertile ground for conditioning. It's like it could go either way, and I wanted to get some ways to practice with it, I think.
Yeah, because what it wants to do is make this a problem.
Yes.
So that if it's so powerful, then certainly you're going to scramble to put it all back to normal.
Exactly. Let me find my identity as the person who, you know, does 9,000 things, even if I don't really think about what they are. I just fill up, you know, the space again. So, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And so that's a wonderful spot to me. Of course, it's easy to say because it's happening to you. It is great to be able to see conditioning against a slightly different backdrop. Because you know, I mean, you know that most of what it's saying to you is made up. It doesn't know what's going to happen to you when you move to your new place. It doesn't know what you're going to do next. It doesn't know what your life, it doesn't know anything. It just has to create a big firestorm of it's, but, okay, we don't know exactly what it is, but it's going to be awful.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
And then it'll start filling in what you need to do in order to survive these awful circumstances. And so for you to be able to focus on it in that way, and I'm encouraging you in this direction to make it a real conscious stopping and saying, you know, when I was back there in that other life, in that other, doing those other three jobs, I believed the stories because they seemed related to my life.
Yes.
Because it was talking about the marriage that was there with you being that person who did that and he did that and you taught yoga and you worked at these other places. And so it had conversation about something that you would hear and go, oh, yeah, that's true, that's my life.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can keep sight of the fact that it's not talking about what is your life, because nothing is going on in your life right now.
Yes.
You know, you're between, it's like if you get in the car and you're going to go from New York City to Pittsburgh.
Yes.
And what conditioning wants you to do is be in New York for half the drive and Pittsburgh for the other half of the drive.
Mm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
not that cut and dry, but pretty darn close. So it gets you to focus on all of the stuff that happened there that you're just leaving, and then at a certain point, whoop, okay, now we've got to focus on where we're going. But the reality is you're not in either of those places. You're in a car in between those places.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's where life really happens, and that's the part that conditioning is so invested in us missing. So you really do have a grand opportunity to be in transition, to identify yourself as a person who is in transition. And so in that way, it is perfectly legitimate for you not to know anything. Therefore, you don't have to figure anything out. Therefore, there's no reason to be in these inane conversations that have nothing to do with where you are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that is helpful, and I can. It has been fun to see a little of that because you're so right. I mean, the conversation was always about, you know, how difficult things were at the job, and oh, if only I had, you know, another opportunity to do something different. And now suddenly I do, and now it's like, oh my God, that was the best job you ever had. You're never going to get jobs like that again. And
yeah. And if you can stay in that place to really see it for what it is. With, you know, only because there's going to be so much less temptation to buy into it, because to the, you know, as much as you can stay conscious, you'll know that it's just a program that it's running.
Yeah, definitely.
You don't know that. You may be, you know, we talk to you 6 months from now, you are in a job that you can't even believe you have. You're so deliriously happy with it. So that voice has no idea.
Yes. Yeah. And it is. It's just looking to make this a problem. And there is a feeling of this isn't a problem. This can be really exciting. But
yeah.
It definitely is like searching for how this is really.
And the other thing that I'm going to encourage you really specifically to watch out for is projection.
Mm.
If you start listening to these voices, they're going to convince you that your husband really doesn't mean it. He really resents the fact that he's the only one working. He really wants you to get a job. And no matter, once they convince you, no matter what he says, the voice is, well, yeah, he's saying that, but he doesn't really mean it.
Yeah, they've already started some of that. And I've actually watched, you know, like at 2:00 in the morning, I'll wake up and think, I have to search the classified ads. I need to just get a job now. I just can't, you know, and I just, I'm seeing all this happen.
Yeah.
And, but, you know, I mean, if there is this little part that knows like, wow, what an amazing, you know, when in life do you get this opportunity that I could take a little time, I could be okay, and I could just do some things that I enjoy, but it's almost like I just don't know how to do it, like how to just find what I enjoy.
Here's my encouragement.
Yeah.
Don't worry about the content.
Okay.
Take this opportunity to see the process.
Yes.
So, somewhere along the line, if you're staying with the process of this, at some point, something will happen and you'll go, oh, yes, I want to take that job. And it won't be because you found something in the classifieds.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be because it's time and life just presents the next opportunity to you.
Mm. Yeah.
So take advantage of this time. Take this hiatus. Yes, it'll be great to learn to play the guitar or to volunteer at places. That's all well and good. But it's not about that. It's about seeing through those driving voices that have controlled you since you were very, very, very young.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, putting them out of business. Then you're free to do whatever. You have six jobs if you want. You'll get a completely different life experience if those voices aren't running the show.
Yeah, yeah. Do you have any thoughts about specifically, you know, I'm kind of looking for the how, like just, you know, meditate more often because I'll have the chance, or, you know, just I want to stay conscious, I guess, and I'm sort of wondering.
Yeah.
Like,
so don't meditate more in the sense of, okay, now I have to sit down for 30 minutes six times a day. Not that.
Mm-hmm.
But take little 5-minute check-in with myself.
Okay.
Break all day long. You know, where you really do sit down and just come back to yourself and see what's going on. Process map.
Yes.
It's a perfect time to process map.
Okay.
Yeah.
I got my and paper. I'm going to get them out when I get to the new place.
Yeah. Check in with us now that you have Tuesday nights available.
Yeah, absolutely. That's been a big, I'm so excited about that. So, yeah, every Tuesday night for the last 6 years, I've been so frustrated because it's been so hard to call. So that's definitely a great thing. So, all right. Well, thank you so much and have a great trip to Africa.
Yeah, thank you. And you have a great trip, too.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Jen. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, I'm really enjoying this show.
Me, too. I'm glad we do this.
And me too. Me too. We're going to take a quick break and then we'll be right back.
All right.
Porchdog Software is proud to support Open Air with Sherry Huber. For more years than we care to mention, Porchdog has been writing Windows and Mac software for customers big and small. We're pretty good at what we do, and we always try to remember that what we're doing is never more important than how we're doing it. Check us out at www.porchdogsoft.com. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
Welcome back to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we have great sponsors.
We do have great sponsors.
Yes.
It kind of made me want to do an ad. Can I do an ad?
Sure.
We have a hot off the press announcement that maybe it'll come up in Good News or something, or I think there's a Save the Dates coming out. But we're going to do something over New Year's that we have never, ever done before.
Wow.
And that is that we have found a place in the north of San Francisco, and we're going to do a New Year's retreat that is not a work retreat.
Oh, my goodness.
I know. Shocking.
No work.
No work. Well, internal work. So we're going to, I think, now the working title is What's Possible? And so we're going to, it's going to be a big, big old Sangha gathering, and we're going to do a lot of workshops. You know, our standard workshop, guided imagery, homework, you know.
Yes.
Plus this other thing that we did for the first time, as you got to participate in part of this, the last time we were at Carmel, we had Krista, our yoga teacher, come and develop all new recipes for us. For the retreat, wasn't it some of the best food you've ever tasted in your life?
Yes.
Yeah. So we're going to do that. So it's going to be just a fabulous extravaganza, and I wanted to tell people about it because it's not even up on the website. So
wow.
I think it's December 28th to January 2nd, something like that.
That sounds about right.
So start pulling your calendars together.
So big New Year's retreat.
Big New Year's retreat.
Space for lots of sangha.
Yes, and, you know, inside, like heated rooms, indoor plumbing, you know, the kind of thing that you often don't get when you go on retreat with us. Yeah.
Yes.
So there's our first commercial.
That's exciting. That's wonderful. I look forward to that. Sherry, we have two more callers, and we have about 10 minutes.
All right.
Next caller, you are on the line, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Todd.
Hi, Todd.
Hi, Sherry. How you doing?
How are you doing?
I'm pretty good. I good to talk to you. I'm just reporting back. We spoke in, I think, early March.
Yeah.
And
yeah, we did.
And
you've been around the world a couple of times since then.
Yes. And I hear you're going to Africa soon, which is exciting.
Yes.
Looking forward to reading all the blogs.
I meant you had been around the world a couple of times since then.
I don't know if I've been around the world.
Well, you've done some traveling.
I have. I have done some traveling.
Yeah,
and
so what are you seeing right now?
Well, we were chatting at that time about going to the retreat in May.
Yes, I know.
At the monastery, and I did attend the retreat.
And you did that, yeah.
I did that. And what I'm seeing this time coming back, because it was a refresher for me, it was the second time after a two-year hiatus from going to retreats, was my practice really, really, really deepened.
Yeah.
But conditioning is pulling out new stops that I'd never, I'd never seen before.
Practice deepens and conditioning gets more hysterical.
Exactly. And I, what I really got from, I think it was a previous caller when you said we should acknowledge or shouldn't, but we it's your best encouragement is to acknowledge and celebrate our successes.
Yes.
And that's something I don't do until now.
Yeah.
Haven't really brought awareness to.
Yeah. Well,
I'd really like to.
But we're so conditioned that it's wrong.
Yeah.
It's egocentric, it's self-centered.
Right.
Yeah.
And the reason I don't is the feeling is, well, who am I to celebrate myself?
Exactly. Exactly. And yet, of course, if you had a puppy, you know, what would you be doing? Good dog. Oh, good baby. Oh, you're if you have a small child.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. That's wonderful. And then ourselves, nothing. Beast of burden, get nothing.
That's true. I have a stepson who just finished his finals, and I've been mentoring him this school year, and he made the honor roll for the first time.
Congratulations to both of you.
Thank you. And we have awards, and he's also been, I think there are small ears, so I'll be careful here, but he has been up for an award tomorrow night at school, first time ever. So, yeah, we've been celebrating, acknowledging that all week.
Yes.
But when it comes to me, it's like, no, I can't do that for myself.
Yeah. Well, you know where that's coming from, so those days are behind you.
Yeah. So I want to acknowledge and celebrate a success here on the show, is going to that retreat, seeing things I'd never seen before, deepening my practice, bringing home a consistent sitting practice, which I'd never had for a month, which is my aspiration to continue that. Huge success for me. And bringing majority of those tools, which I brought the first time home, and conditioning put in the closet and never saw them again.
Right.
So they collect a lot of cobwebs and dust in 2 years. But this second retreat, I brought these tools home, and I've been using them daily and using them hourly. Or any time I can remember to bring awareness and conditioning, which is really interesting. The thing that's come up for me the most is that the conditioning prior to this new awareness was it was attacking me. The voice of the self-hate attacked me. But now that this deepening practice and I got this awareness and I see it and I see the self-hate and I see the self-talk, I see it, it has gone outward.
Yeah.
And it's attacking my externals, my external relationships. My the dissatisfaction in Buddhism, looking for a new accommodation, and it's getting me in this huge duality again about, you know, all those things that this isn't right, that's wrong, this isn't where I should be somewhere else, your practice is being held back because of where you are, blah 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 blah. So it's really, really ramped up.
And it's so ugly, isn't it?
It's not hating me, but it's hating other.
That's right.
And
well,
it's
hating you via others.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's good.
Because, you know, it's all poison. And whether it actually affects anybody else or not. For instance, if it attacks Buddhism, well, you know, it hardly hurts Buddhism. But it does poison you.
Yes.
You know, it leaves you in that place of doubt or suspicion or... You know, it takes the joy of your practice away from you.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally takes away the joy of the practice, which it did when I got back the first retreat. In fact, it was pseudo Zen. It had taken over my awareness practice.
Yeah.
And then beat me with it so much that I basically gave up the practice because it was so difficult.
Yeah. And you can't blame a person.
No.
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 It's ugly.
Yeah. And I know there's another caller, and I always like to let everyone get the shout-out. So just to wrap up, the thing that I'm noticing as well, in addition to the other hate, is it's not even conceptualizing in voices so much as sentences anymore. It's sensations.
Uh-huh.
So it's gripping me in the chest like a death grip.
Yeah. And then as soon as it gets a good hold, it'll start talking to you about stress and how you're probably going to have a heart attack and you're going to die soon and... What you really need to do is,
it gets me in that emotional thing. Whereas I try to go back to the breath, try to, you know, say back to the breath. Okay, it's just a sensation. no attachment to, no labels, no, it doesn't mean anything, but then the voices start to tell me what it means.
Oh, absolutely.
And then that's the hook. For me, it's like,
you know,
God.
It would be so fun for us as a Sangha to write the book on what happens in practice.
Yes.
So just the kind of things that you're talking about. You know, first you're in this stage, and then the voices start talking to you about this.
Yes.
And then after the voices don't really work that well anymore, you get sensation with an understanding of what the sensations mean. But no voice. And then, you know, just to say, we could probably just lay it out, you know.
Oh, I know.
This is what you're going to go through first, and then this is going to come second. And then, now, the order may be a little bit off for you, but it's kind of like a smorgasbord, and it'll basically be laid out from soup to dessert.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Well, I'm good. I'm up for a chapter if you're looking for contributions. I'm up for a chapter. So great to chat with you and Michael. Have a great trip, safe trip to Africa.
Thank you. Thank
I'm going to say good night, and I'm going to thank you with great gratitude to everyone who's involved in the Sangha and the support that I get from it and the support that I hope to offer to the Sangha as well.
All right. Well, thank you, sir.
Thanks, Sherry.
Talk
to you soon. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Todd. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we have one more caller.
All right.
Next caller, you are on the line, and could you please introduce yourself?
Good evening. This is Beth.
Hey, Beth.
Hi, Sherry.
What's
going on?
I know
we're at the end of the call.
Let's cut right to it, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I've had this situation that's kind of brewing still with a neighbor who knows not what they do.
Uh-huh.
And is very unkind and not knowing what they do. I had my godchildren here this weekend, and there's Benji's 3. He was woken suddenly from his nap, and he woke up into this, you know, I really want my mom, and my mom's not here kind of space.
Yeah.
He wouldn't accept any comfort from me, and I ended up putting him gently and with a great deal of kindness in the room by himself, and he just kind of let out this tremendous wail. Just the whole neighborhood heard it, and then he was fine. And then I put him in the bath, and he just had this look of a complete and utter bliss. And I've kind of been noticing that in myself with the situation that I'm dealing with my neighbor, that I've got all these blockages on how I stop that wail.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know if it's a wail or not. I mean, that's more figurative than literal.
Yeah. But you realize that the expression is blocked.
Yes. I mean, it's like I could feel how intensely I wanted this child to stop crying and how important it was for this child to stop crying.
Yeah.
And within myself, and kind of like instead of like acting out of that, I went and sat.
And so are you wondering what would have happened if you had just started screaming along with him?
Well, I really wanted him to stop crying. And whatever it took to get him to stop crying was okay.
Uh-huh. And that's kind of a sobering awareness, isn't it?
Because that's what I do to me.
Yeah.
It is so incredibly important that I stop crying.
Uh-huh. Although we're not certain exactly why.
Yeah, no, this, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so I listened to a CD of yours from the Harrisburg talk, and it was talking about how we have all these judgments about what's okay about our experience and what's not.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and just, I mean, there are very few children, at least in this country, that I've ever run into who didn't get strong messages that it is not okay to be emotional. It's not okay to cry. It's not okay to be too happy or too excited.
Oh, yeah.
In other words, it's not okay to feel.
Yeah.
Kind of the bottom line.
Right. And then it's like you never get through to the bliss.
Yeah, because all of your energy is devoted to shutting down.
which it also keeps the experience going.
Precisely.
Kind of in the slow simmer stewing kind of place.
Yeah. Well, if we pictured it as a wound, you know, it's a boil, and you just keep putting something over the top of it to keep it from doing what it's going to do. It's just not going to go in a good direction.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yes. And so, and for me, somebody being angry at me is my greatest fear. Somebody being displeased, and I've got that coming at me at a couple of different places where there's just people I can't make happy.
Right. Well, and you're, as you're indicating, you're the first one.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And I can see how deeply this goes in me. I can just see how deeply it goes.
Yeah. Yeah. And how it holds it all in place. So it's not okay that you are the way you are.
Yes, it's not
you're,
okay.
You're displeased with, your conditioning is displeased with the way you are.
Yes.
And so there's no acceptance for the way you are. And so you actually never get to be the way you are. You just get to be in reaction to the rejection, which keeps you being that reaction. Okay. Then when we look at the external, you really want people to have a particular experience.
Yes.
You so desperately want them to have that experience that there's no way. It's like, you know, you can hold it in place. You probably heard me talk about this friend of mine who had roofing problems, and they put a tarp over the roof, and she said, I held that thing on there all winter with my stomach muscles. So it's that same kind of the intensity of the focus of not wanting this to be the way it is keeps it the way it is.
Yes. Yes, and how blind I am to it.
Oh, yeah. Well, when we're in that desperate kind of scrambling around, it's hard for us to be open to what's actually happening.
Yes. Yeah, so
but it's good to see all this, isn't it?
I didn't hear that.
It's good to see all of this.
Yeah, it really is. It's fascinating, actually.
Oh!
It's fascinating.
It's
just the level of the intensity that I was feeling that this child had to shut up. Just, you know, just kind of seeing, you know, how that voice operates inside my head.
Yeah. And you can sympathize with how people do that to their children.
And how many generations back it goes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Seventh generation doesn't have anything. No, that doesn't even come close.
And just, you know, just how comfortable, I mean, like skin it is.
Yeah.
It's just really, really close.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and fortunately, he hasn't bought into it yet.
No, he did fine. He worked it out.
Yeah.
He didn't need me.
Right. Yeah, he talk about self-soothing, huh?
Yeah.
Mhm.
Yeah. Yeah. And I thank you.
So you're going
to just wanted to say thank you to you also.
Yeah. Yeah, now you've gotten some good parenting tips from this little guy. Good ways, good things to practice with taking care of yourself.
Yeah. I was just kind of like, you know, it's like I saw him get to this place of total and utter despair that I was so envious of.
Yeah.
And there's like a part of me that it's like so ingrained not to go there.
Yeah. And he just went there and went right through the other side.
Matter of minutes.
Yeah. And, you know, we would use a label like that, but that's very likely not what he was experiencing. Because if you don't have anything telling you you shouldn't be feeling what you're feeling, why not feel everything? If you're completely into it, is it a bad feeling? I doubt it. The bad feeling is you shouldn't be feeling that. That's what feels bad.
Yeah. Oh, and it does. It really does.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that clock on the wall says we better talk next time.
Or soon.
Yeah, or soon.
Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you, Beth. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Beth. Sherry, I'm so grateful to be a part of this.
Me too. I'd like to say let's do it again next week, but I really can't be certain of that.
Yeah, but time will tell.
Yeah, and whatever happens, there will be somebody great on here, and there will be you, and so it will be and all these lovely people who will call in, so it will be a good thing.
Yes, and I wish you very safe travels.
Thank you. I'm going to do my best, and I look forward to talking to you as soon as that happens.
Sounds great.
All right. Thanks,
Michael.
Thank you,
Cheryl. Good night.